Commissioner Jerry Chang to give our inspiration.
Thank you, everybody. I'm so glad I'm honored to be nominated as the distinguished citizen of the city of Irvine, just like Rachel Owens said, because I was the senior counsel of the city of Irvine before. And also I'm the president of the Irvine Evergreen Chinese Senior Association, and the Irvine Multicultural Senior Association. So I'm so glad to serve in the Irvine City. And that's why I've been in Irvine for 20 years. So very, very glad to meet you today. So just say that. Okay.
Thank you. Also, congratulations to Rachel and to Charlene, who was recently honored. So we just have amazing people. All of us trying to make the world a better place. Our older adults in our county, pretty cool group of people. Now I'm going to ask Dave Wheeler. Okay. Someone else has to say a question? That's great. Thank you, Rachel. So please rise if you're able. Put your hand over your heart. Ready?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And now we are on to item number four, roll call with Secretary Jane Kipfer.
Okay, good morning, all. Let's see. I've got a form that's already completed. Charlene Ashendorf.
Present.
Debbie Baker. Linda Barcelona. Lavelle Brewer. Art Brum. Elizabeth Houston.
Present.
Jerry Chang.
Present.
Meredith Chilmer.
Present.
Lynette Quinatini. No, she's. Elaine Genoway. Harvard Hart.
Here.
Lisa Hernandez. Richard Hernandez. And Hillman. Marianne Klinger.
Here.
Beck Levette.
Here.
Felix Lopez. Crystal Miles.
Present.
Patty Guitton.
Present.
And Margaret. Robert Nelson.
Here.
Jenny Nicholas.
Here.
Rachel Owens.
Present.
John Pointer.
Here.
Adina St. Matthews. Bernie Simino. Barbara Slope. Sandy Singh.
Present.
Nathan Steele, here. Dave Tesla, here. Dave Wheeler. We have a quorum.
And then we're on to item number 5, secondary comments.
Okay, have the new timesheets. I see here. But you will be completing this for the month of May. If you cannot complete it at this time, please email me the results. And my email address is davetesla@aol.com. Thank you.
Thank you so much. All right, now we are on to public comments. At this time, members of the public may address the commission regarding any items within subject matter jurisdiction. Do we have any public comments?
No, we do not.
Thank you. And now we are on to item number 7, introduction. Yes, would you like to reintroduce yourself?
Hello. This is Shane Advocate from the McIntosh Center, the Center for Content Living for folks with disabilities in Orange County. We're also the Aging Disability Promotion Connection. I'm very happy to be back. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. Happy to have you back. Any of our guests want to introduce
more of this please.
And just for a reflex, I would say in Clementi Village, we are small nonprofit organization that provides non-medical services to the seniors of St. Clemente and Capital Region seem to be the impact. So thank you for having
me. Good night. Jacobs. I'm the senior council. That's it.
She's the chair.
No, she's the chair. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm also with the Multicultural Association, just like Jerry.
Great.
And I'm Michelle Jasmine, also with the Senior Services Council in Irvine.
Well, thank you all for coming. All right, now we are on to our presentation, and I will turn it over to Rachel, I think, for introducing our fabulous guest speaker.
And we're going to
We have you at the chair. Yeah, well, I guess I'll go up there.
So one of the things we have to train our speakers about is to send us their own introduction so we can get
I don't want to push into any of their time. They are amazing. You can read about them online, but we have so few minutes.
So this is Brooke Weissman. She is the founder of the Elder Law and Disability Rights Center. And this is a person with an incredible mission in her own right to reach out to the senior community and to the disability community and the homeless community to provide legal services at a reasonable cost or a cost that can be affordable for that particular person. Brooke utilizes interns that come from some of our law schools. I don't know if you've expanded beyond UCI at this point.
We have interns from all law schools.
So we're training new attorneys in the community to have advocacy and connection to the community in more integral ways rather than maybe just suing somebody or making money. Right? I find her staff to be absolutely wonderful. And so the Elder Law, through advocacy, education, and the provision of free and low-cost legal services, strive to ensure dignity and justice for members of our community. I refer you to one of the county's biggest advocates in this area,
Welcome, Bruce.
Thank you.
Welcome in.
So I thought, if people have questions, definitely chime in, but I thought I would give kind of a quick overview of some of the legal services available in Orange County, particularly for older adults, the things that we do, some of the greatest things that we're working on figuring out how to fund right now, places where we would love to partner with cities and the county to build out the resources for seniors, and then tell you a little bit, if I can fit it into the minutes by talking really fast, about a project that all the legal services in Orange County are working on together that we still have not entirely figured out who we're going to partner with the fund, but it's going to be great for seniors once we figure it out. I will not talk about all of the slides because the slide shows greater than the number of minutes I have here. But I did want to kind of touch on some of the big issues, which are the legal services, the need. Some of this information many of you probably know because you do work with this population, right? That we have a large and growing aging population in Orange County, that the needs of seniors when under the law, seniors are often referred to as 60 and over. The needs of people who are 60 and 70 and the needs of people who are 90 to 100 are obviously different. And the resources available are often different, but for legal purposes and for elder abuse and for a lot of the legal funding, the cutoff is usually 60 or 62 of what qualifies as older adults. So for example, the point in time count of the unhoused people in Orange County, the cutoff was 62. And hopefully you already know that over 850 people, so we're over 62, were counted. And for folks who may not be familiar with the point in time count, it's a literal count walking around counting people. And so it is always an undercount because when you have a bunch of volunteers who over 2 days do their best to scour the streets of Orange County, it turns out unhoused older adults are very good at hiding because they don't want to feel unsafe. So they are much better at hiding in their cars, of having storage units where they keep their belongings, parking and sleeping in areas that they used to live where their car doesn't look out of place, putting their stuff into the storage units early in the morning before they go shower at the gym, because often a fixed income is enough that you can maintain a storage unit and a gym, even if you can't maintain housing. So it becomes really hard to find, when the way you're finding people is by walking the streets counting, particularly for older adults, that's always going to be an undercount. And it's a number that's constantly going up. So hopefully we as a county and all of you as our leaders can figure out how to fix it. Looking forward to your solutions. I just pulled the goals from our county plan, but those all kind of line up with the legal needs when it comes to housing for all stages and all ages, when it comes to access to healthcare. These are often the reasons why people call a lawyer and why people need a low-income, free or low-cost lawyer, is to plan to maintain housing, to plan for access to health, to address challenges when there's denials with healthcare coverage or evictions by landlords. That inclusion, equity, not isolation, often relates to getting access to disability accommodation. So there are kind of legal needs associated with all of the focuses that we have in the county right now. Currently, the free legal services primarily are the Public Law Center, Community Legal Aid SoCal, Veterans Legal Institute, which just like the name suggests, serves any veteran or military connected families, and our office, the Elder Law and Disability Rights Center. As you heard, we do some free services and some reduced cost services. When we founded 8 years ago, we really thought that the need for the low income modest means was so great and no one was doing it, that you hear about it all the time in medical and other types of nonprofits, but not so much in legal. Unfortunately, what we have found in the first 8 years is that almost all of the people we're taking are people who do qualify for free services because the need is so great and the types of work we're doing are a little bit different than what the other legal services are doing, end of life planning and limited conservatorships and a lot of the kind of educational and special education work. And so we're kind of looking at right now kind of an internal shift of, do we need to shift to more free services and then expand again to have the modest means, because those people still need help, but the people who are currently paying our even very low fees really can't afford that. I will not focus much on elder abuse because plenty of other people do, but elder abuse is bad. We should all prevent it. one of the areas that our office does the most of that I want to spend a few minutes kind of making sure that you all learn some about, and hopefully you'll already know some about, is probate court and staying out of probate court.
So that's one of the focuses that are on the show that the others don't. The way you go to probate court, hopefully none of you have been there, but my guess is some of you have been there. When you go to probate court, only lawyers win. Everyone else for sure loses. But it costs a ton of money, and no one ever gets what they want. This is true in a lot of court proceedings, but especially true in probate court. And the thing about probate court is the significant majority of the cases that are going to probate court are avoidable by providing front-end planning. So one of the things our office founded that was important to us was doing more preventative legal services, getting to people before the crisis, that folks don't often don't go looking for a free or low-cost lawyer until a crisis has happened. And that if we could get to every person in Orange County, particularly every older adult in Orange County, and help them get a free healthcare directive, power of attorney, will think about what planning is going to look like for their end of life and how they were going to transition things to their family, it would both give a ton of peace of mind, it would give a lot of people the autonomy and power to make their own decisions, it would keep all these folks out of probate court to keep their limited assets in their family instead of in the pocket of some future lawyer. During a person's lifetime, the reason you end up in probate court is if you lose capacity. It can be that youth with developmental disabilities who never had capacity turn 18, become adults. And those aren't really avoidable. Those folks probably are going to have to go to probate court to get the order, and we're building a project with Chop Children's Hospital to do that. But if it's because you lost capacity due to an accident or due to dementia or any other aging-related reason, if you don't have documents in place about who's going to make decisions for you, how we're going to make decisions for you, then your family will have no choice but to pay some lawyer an obscene amount of money to go to probate court and get a judge to order that you can't make your own decisions anymore. It also, as you all probably know, kind of aging and dementia is a very fluid sliding scale, right? You can have capacity one day and not have capacity the next day, have capacity in the morning and not in the evening. When you leave that decision up to a judge instead of the papers you decided, it's a yes or no. There's no, the judge can't say, yes, you have capacity from 9 to 11 every day. The judge just takes away your right to make your decisions. When you do the pre-planning and have the documents in place for your family or friends or other relatives to support you, then you have the autonomy to make those decisions. So when you're alive, those things are called healthcare directive and power of attorney. And when you die, they are called the documents that could impact what happens and whether you wish you had to live and whether or not your family has to go to probate court. Are your will, your trust, your transfer on death deed, and I'll touch on each of these if I have enough minutes, and beneficiaries, which you can add to any type of account, bank account, Facebook account, email account. You can put beneficiaries, pretty much anything that you could call an account. So when you don't have the documents and you lose capacity, in California, that's called a conservatorship. Private lawyers often charge, if everyone agrees that the family's not in a fight, that easily is a $5,000 to $10,000 process. For folks who are low income and come to my office, and we do a sliding scale based on their income, it's usually more like an $800 to $1,200 process. That's still an incredible amount of money for a very low-income family who's trying to help an older adult because they're losing capacity and can't make decisions and didn't sign the paperwork while they could. So adults who become disabled get general conservatorships. There's three types in California. Youth who are developmentally disabled and turn 18 get limited conservatorships, which have much more specific powers and authorities that they do and don't give to the parents or conservator. And then there's the LPS conservatorship. That is for mental health crisis. We get a lot of calls from people, particularly older adults whose children may have a substance use disorder, maybe living in the house, engaged in elder abuse, who want to figure out a way to conserve their child, to get them hospitalized, to get them treatment. That's not a real thing. Only the county can do that. So the mental health conservatorship, the LPS, for mental health crisis can only be initiated by the county public guardian and the doctors, typically only after a person is on a crisis hold in a hospital. So families can't on their own decide to initiate a conservatorship to take away someone's right to make their decisions, unless it's because of developmental disability or loss of capacity due to injury or dementia. So how we stay out of conservatorships and stay out of probate court, right? Advanced healthcare directive. So our office does a clinic, and we've actually been partnering with some of the senior centers, I think in some of your cities. So we now bring a free clinic to almost anyone that will ask for it, that wants to create the space and invite us in. So if we haven't partnered with you, we definitely can. We work with a law firm, Shepherd Mullin, and they bring volunteers and they buy the California Health Hospital Association booklets for us. We come in and give an hour talk about what are all these things, why do you need them, regardless of income. We now can give it in multiple languages, which is exciting. And then we sit down in one-on-one appointments with law students and lawyers from all three Orange County law schools, and they complete their best healthcare directive right there in the clinic after they learn about the document. So people walk away with an actually completed packet. On that packet, they give both instructions about what they want. I very much hope you all have one. If not, I'm sure you're going to go download it today and do it. And they give sort of instructions about what they want and who, if they can't make decisions, is the person. And often a successor person, a backup person, if the first one can't or won't make decisions. But that makes it so that if you can't tell your doctor what you want, instead of having your whole family either fight it out and destroy relationships or go spend a ton of money getting a judge to give an order, they can just show the piece of paper to the doctor and help follow the wishes as they understood it. As they understood it is important, right? With all end of life planning, encouraging our county, our community, everyone to talk about these things more is really important in letting families be able to know what people want. When folks don't want to talk about end of life planning, then they don't know what people want and they cannot possibly follow wishes. Unless they're mind readers, they cannot possibly follow wishes they didn't know about. So the second lifetime document is the power of attorney. And that one is for the non-healthcare things, right? So for banks, for any contracts, for courts. And that one is also, when we do our clinic, we do a two-part clinic. So if we partner with any of you or your senior centers, or we've been going to low-income apartment complexes, working with some other nonprofits, if we come for a second part of the clinic, we do the power of attorney on the second part. But kind of that's the thing where you'll lay out which types of powers you want someone to have, who that someone is, and who the backup someone is. That way, if you do find yourself losing capacity or your family or the people you're serving, then instead of paying a bunch of lawyers and courts to get an order, someone has a piece of paper and can simply do what you wanted. A really important part as we start to look at kind of assets, and the thing that our office has been working on a lot and is working on trying to build up right now, is the Medicaid recovery. So a lot of you probably know that the Medicaid rules have changed, and so there's not an asset test anymore, but there is still Medicaid recovery. And so that means that families of means who have assets can qualify for Medicaid, can do an end of life planning, can ensure that their assets are passed on to the next generation. But that also means that low-income families, and we have a lot of low-income families in Orange County, where the older adult is the homeowner, where there's multiple generations living in the home, where the grandparent believes they did everything they could to set their family up to get out of poverty, to start passing on generational wealth, but is on a fixed income and is relying upon that house to be the thing that will keep their family stable and inside for generations, don't know that if they use Medicaid and if they pass away, the Medicaid will require, and their house goes to probate court, the Medicaid will require the house be sold so Medicaid can be paid back.
Medi-Cal.
Sorry, yeah, Medi-Cal in California. So if their house never goes to probate court, because probate court, like we started off, always bad. The house never goes to probate court, Medi-Cal recovers nothing, the family keeps everything. But low-income families don't know that. And so we're really looking to partner right now with agencies and governments to find funding to go into these communities and to educate folks and to be able to offer those services free. So far, we don't have the trust part free, but we do have that education piece to at least talk to people about it if anyone wants to represent. So wills and trusts are the things you use to stay out of probate court. I will not, in the interest of time, go into that in a lot of detail right now, but those are the other documents we talk about in the presentations. Then we go over people kind of how to plan to keep their assets out of probate court, whether that's bank accounts, investment accounts, or just Facebook, social media accounts. We talk about planning for assets, for folks who have retirement. These are all different types of. This is some resources. Some of you are here and are on our list. If you're here and if you're turned on our list and you want to be, tell me and I'll put you on our list. We, as we're kind of going through and doing this outreach to the community and trying to help most of Orange County have a better understanding about why they need to be talking about and thinking about end-of-life planning and making sure that seniors have access to legal services, our office has also been partnering with the other legal services to figure out how we can better reach more people, especially older adults, especially non-English speaking older adults, because we think those are the folks that we're reaching the least. And one of the things that we're in the process of doing is looking to partner with foundations and government agencies to bring together the funding to build a centralized call center. And so we are hopeful that if we could get a legal intake call center, we can not only figure out what needs are not being met, but what geographic parts of Orange County aren't calling at all, because we know that all of your cities have low-income older adults who need access to free legal services. And we don't know how to figure out who doesn't know about us and who isn't calling or who needs a different way to reach us. So hopefully in the coming years, we will build out this system, but anyone who is interested in suggesting ways to do that, please tell me, and that will help us with it. So I'm happy to answer questions about any of those things or talk in more detail about, I blew through a few of them because I was worried about timing.
But I'd like you to go back to the issue of the senior who owns the home and now needs care outside of the home and where those disconnects happen.
So it is not uncommon for people to end up needing both healthcare and nursing home care. And nursing home care is very, very, very expensive. And fortunately, Medi-Cal pays for it. But unfortunately, unless you follow a very strict set of rules about having someone keep you out of a nursing home for 2 years, and there's rules that most people are never going to read, much less follow, when the person passes away, the federal rules say Medi-Cal is permitted to recover the money that they spent. If that's $10,000 a month or more, that can easily, you know, add up in the course of just a few years to hundreds of thousands of dollars. So if a family bought a home back when it was $100,000, and now 3 or 4 generations of the family live there together and take care of each other, but grandma needs to go into a nursing home or needs some serious medical care toward the end of life, then Medi-Cal could rack up easily a $300,000 or $400,000 or greater bill. So then if the house doesn't use a non-probate transfer, the family doesn't know to get a lawyer to find a way to ensure the house will transfer on death without going through the probate court, when the house gets put into probate court, the judge says you have to give notice to Medi-Cal about the value of the assets. And then Medi-Cal will say, here's our bill. And unless the family has a way to pay the bill, often the only way to pay the bill is to sell the house. And so while the family may then walk away after the attorney gets paid and Medi-Cal gets paid with, you know, $500,000, because all these houses in Orange County are now worth $1 million or more probably, it's not going to be enough for them to get into another house in Orange County. That means we're having Orange County families and Orange County assets that are getting split between the federal government instead of staying in our community, and families that are being driven to other areas instead of staying in our community. And so it becomes a really important both education piece, because a lot of folks just don't know. They didn't hire a lawyer to do an estate plan or not thinking about it. And the other kind of flip side of that is families who sort of know but didn't talk to a lawyer think, I can avoid this. I'm going to put my kid on the title right now. And then when they put their kid on the title right now to try and protect themselves from the thing they sort of understand but couldn't afford a lawyer, if there weren't enough free legal services, they didn't consult one, then you run into both the problem of sometimes the kid steals the house, right? That's how we end up in elder abuse situations. But even when the kid doesn't steal the house, that there's a bunch of tax consequences and steps up in basis and capital gains and things that are impacted when the house is transferred to the wrong generation at the wrong time, and things that folks of means who have planning support and financial planners can avoid, and that our low-income families, particularly those who are less familiar with our legal system, can't. So it creates a massive equity problem is what it really comes down to, right? And so figuring out how we as a county can recognize this huge equity problem and invest, whether it's each city building programs in a city or the county building programs in the county, but invest in really bringing in the type of free legal services that are going to put an end to the problem and keep our local families' resources in our county and in our cities.
My understanding was that the will not keep you out of probate court. Is that not correct?
That's correct. Will not keep you out of probate court if your assets are below a cutoff. But if you own a home, a will not keep you out of probate court. So you would need a trust or a transfer in death deed.
In terms of the estate planning and even following up on Rachel's question, do you get many calls or requests for assistance with reverse mortgage issues and problems that some of our older adults
you know, unfortunately, they fall prey often to these reverse mortgage plans, and not always is that their best course of action.
So we definitely had calls about it. The Public Law Center has a consumer unit, so we generally refer all of those kind of consumer law related issues there, as there's definitely not enough legal services to meet the need of qualified people in the county, but we try to minimize our overlap so that we can provide as the closest we can to maximizing services. So there are not a lot of options, practically speaking, once people have them. And for folks who want to pass their home on to the next generation, they probably are going to do more harm than good, because they're not going to be able to buy their way out of the loan. For people who don't have a next generation and want to live comfortably and don't mind if their house goes to the loan company instead of to some nonprofit like this fabulous one that needs the money services, then it's a great thing. You know, they're doing it for their lifetime, and that's, you know, reasonable planning. But yeah, we definitely get the calls, but also it really ends up kind of hard. Like, the decision about when to do it is more a financial planner conversation, like understanding what the legal implications are, but really working with a financial planner to figure out what do I need in my lifetime and what do I want to leave and what do I want that to look like.
You need for each person.
And then have referring to the Public Law Center.
But you had asked if anyone had any suggestions about how to get this out, the public information out. Have you considered going to city councils during the public comment and doing a brief kind of synopsis and get your name out there?
We've definitely talked to a lot of city councils about it. We haven't gone specifically to the city council meetings. I really struggled with cutting it down to 20 minutes per year. I don't know what I could do in three. But it's not, we definitely look into it.
Comment that if you get with some council members typically in the city beforehand and you put on an agenda, then you're not limited to 3 minutes. You can be expanded to a presentation.
So we can definitely send people with stuff that city council members are interested in having more of.
If only you had some city council members here.
Brooke, there are five or six. How many do we have?
I see two questions over here.
I know the real estate of property. For the power of attorney, and also the living trust, I know the difference. But for the real estate, so which one is more the better? If you like a power of attorney or you have a living trust, which one should you select for your property or the real estate?
So in terms of like which type of attorney?
I know, like the living trust may be a little bit, very limited also. The power of attorney is so broad.
So power of attorney is a document where you give someone authority to sign on your behalf for things like banks. And you can even give them the power to write a trust for you. You have to specifically write that in. The living trust is like a bucket that you dump everything you own into, and it has instructions for who gets what, when, and how. So they just do different things. You need both.
Okay.
Couldn't we, as a body or with our county supervisors, look at the areas of the county where there's the highest Medicaid usage, which would be, I think it's Supervisor Doe's district right now, and do a campaign there to start so that people who are homeowners know to look into a trust and where they can go to get it?
Like with all things that folks in your positions know, who's going to do it and how are we going to pay for it? But absolutely, looking at kind of areas that are high Medi-Cal usage, have higher levels of older adults, and have homeowners, like higher home ownership versus rentals, becomes a really critical. And we're at a place in this county right now where now it's kind of the moment to get to these people while they're alive, right? That the folks who were able to buy homes at rates that we can't even imagine
in the
are. 50s. If they're not the people who are currently working, they're the people who are retired, who are less and less likely to want to do things different than they know. And so now is kind of the moment where we really need to find this community. Especially non-English speaking communities are even less likely to trust lawyers, especially immigrant communities don't know kind of what this document is that we're trying to convince them they need.
The nuances of it. I'm certain that most people who have long-term Medi-Cal and go into skilled nursing? And does this also apply for people who are covered by the assisted living waiver under Medi-Cal? Can they claw back if the person owns their home?
There's a whole set of rules about like the age at which it kicks in, but for the most part, if you're using Medi-Cal and you go to probate, they are likely to be able to collect something, if not a significant amount.
Do you agree with Cal Optima on this?
Yeah. No, I mean, Cal Optima probably helps get the money reclaimed, but no, I haven't specifically worked with them on it.
See, there's a little conflict here because, of course, we want families to be able to keep the generational wealth and pass it down because that does benefit the entire economy. However, if people have incurred $1 million in care expenses and the sale of their house would then reimburse the state and the taxpayers for that, then
the reason it's not a conflict at all for me right now is that only low-income families are paying it back. That it is a serious equity issue, that the law as written ensures that every income, every family that has the means to hire a lawyer to make a plan does not have to pay it back. And so it's not, so if we were going to change the law and say everyone pays it back, then it's a different problem. Then the question is, yes, are we reclaiming taxpayer dollars? But the law is right now, we're failing to protect the vulnerable, marginalized communities who are the only ones paying it back.
But I mean, by definition, people of means wouldn't necessarily be getting their long-term coverage through Medi-Cal.
No, because it's income only. So you can have a ton of assets and still have Medi-Cal pay.
That
have
less than
so you have to pay the share of the cost.
Yeah.
Now, for long-term care, there's a wrinkle in there about your assets versus your monthly income. And it may not end up being covered by the share of costs. So
well,
they
basically decided that you only have to pay after your share of costs. So now this is getting down a rabbit hole.
Yeah,
now some very wealthy people are going to nursing homes and applying for Medi-Cal because the assets are no longer part of the equation. And then they're paying up to the share of costs, which is going to result in nursing homes going out of business because then they lose about $3,000 a month that those people couldn't afford it.
Which is a whole different problem.
Yes.
So I think when it comes to kind of a recovery piece,
yeah.
That is it. That like people who can afford the planning are not impacted by it. The system we have in place now is that we are not giving the same information and planning tools to low-income people. So it seems like that would be a really critical thing for the county to do. And looking kind of locally at our county, above and beyond kind of what's being paid in, when they become homeless, we're paying it with our taxpayer dollars anyway, right? So that the alternative is that these low-income families that we're getting by do lose the home and end up in our streets and end up kind of exacerbating a whole different set of parts of our system.
Claudia, is this something that the Office on Aging could take on as a public information project?
We currently do have some legal services as well, so we might want to kind of touch base with you afterwards. If that's okay, I don't know if you're going to stay till the end, but we can chat and get your contact information. But we do have legal services that we do, so that's trust me, taking some notes here in terms of what we need to bring a little bit more awareness on and focus on, and who else partnering in the community.
I mean, it could be really simple that
yeah.
when they come to this social services agency to apply for Medi-Cal,
mm-hmm.
that somewhere there's a question that gets asked is, does your loved one who's applying for long-term Medi-Cal own a home, do you have a trust? And just give them that information that if you have a trust, it will benefit your family in the long run.
That would definitely help. Do we have time for one more question?
Oh, no, we have time. I see one more.
Jody, you didn't bring me snacks, so I'm happy.
The usual cost for a conservatorship, you said you put in the $10,000?
If it's not, if the whole family's in agreement, there's no complications, it'll probably run around $5,000 to $10,000.
Okay, and then you compared that to the elder care cost being about $800 to $1,200.
So on our sliding scale side, we have some free services too.
Okay. So here's the question. For estate planning, you didn't give us the contracts.
So it's a lot more of a range because estate planning and private attorneys some people have five houses, some people have one house, and some people have no houses. I don't think you could get private estate planning for less than $2,500, but I suspect you could spend significantly more.
And more interesting, what it would cost the building.
With our office on the sliding scale side, it's generally around the same, $8,000 to $1,200. We have the free clinics, which are just the individual that don't include drafting a trust, but do include the education, and that's free and for anyone who wants to bring us in. We have the pro bono lawyer and a small army of pro bono lawyers along with us. So they come in, they do the education, they do the healthcare directive, and if you bring us back a second time, then they do our statutory will and private attorney.
And last question, do you still have your donate button on your website?
You sure
and
do.
When's your next fundraiser?
So we are in the middle of figuring out our current 2024 fundraising drive, because we're also going through a little bit of a rebrand to figure out what our new name and stuff are going to look like as we grow and find out our name. It's really long. I didn't know when we found it years ago that having such a long name was both going to confuse people on our email and also confuse people on our whole name. But now I do know more about marketing than I did. So if there's not an event scheduled.
Well, give us in the loop so that we can support you.
Thank you.
Do you have a social media presence?
We have a Facebook and a LinkedIn.
You know where you are?
Yeah, I think the Elder Law and Disability Rights Center are why we are.
Okay, John, you're back.
I'm going to take it back on that. It seemed to me that you could even further and say, well, it's a property issue. Go to the county assessor's office. Have them stick a stuffer in there. Focus on those districts. And bingo, you isolate the problem even further. Use that as a sample. Determine what kind of response and where do you spin it out next. Next question. I'm trying to figure out where you fit in with NLER and with Justice and Aging, which is more of a national chain, and I call it a chain, national organization. So you're focused primarily at the County of Orange.
Correct. Yeah. So we're there's a state source of funding called IALTA. We're a qualified service provider under IALTA. Places like Justice and Aging are called qualified support centers. So they do more big picture, they do big picture litigation, they do statewide, often national things. And then we often rely on them for support and training or for taking on a bigger project.
So if someone were to call the county, I'll call them hotline, would they refer to you or if there was an elder abuse issue or you're not in that mood?
Hopefully they would refer to a community legal aid SoCal Public Law Center first, because those places are always completely free and have a lot more other use capacity, and then they might call me if they can't to see whether or not we could take it on at that time. That's part of why we want to build a kind of countywide system, because a lot of folks are having to call all four of the legal services.
Right.
And then, so that is a big project that we would love to find ways to partner.
One more question.
We have a plan and a proposal.
Have you connected with the OC Hunger
Alliance? At times, not recently. I work a lot with HHROC.
Okay, I will connect with you. And the call center, are you planning on doing a non-English speaking sector?
So Community Legal Aid has an entire call center now, but there are limits on who they can fund. It does basically every language. And so we're looking to build that out to be a whole countywide legal service entity, which would also let, there's a lot of entities other than the four that, like Asian Americans Advancing Justice does some work in Orange County. In Laguna Beach, there's Seaside Legal that does a little work in Laguna Beach. So by building out the system, we'd be able to tap into a lot of the places that people don't even find by centralizing it.
Awesome. And do you use CalEgal accounts in your work?
We refer people to places to get them. We occasionally deal with, we advise people on them. We don't like create, I guess for some, we have sometimes for folks, we sometimes represent homeless folks in cases, and sometimes when they get settlements, we've helped them open CalEgal accounts.
I think that we could spend more hours with you, but we need to move along.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. We want to keep you. Well, thank you for all of your incredible advocacy. Like, that was a really great presentation. Thank you for our transfer. Yes. All right, yeah, we're going to move on.
Yes.
She's one of the answers.
I try to find the answers.
Yes, you're in the answer book. All right, now we're on to item number 9, discussion items. Discussion item A is conditions for requirements.
As we all know, our bylaws changed, and I just wanted to remind everyone that we decided as a group that we would have this one longer meeting and not have our subcommittees. And so I'm probably preaching to the choir with everyone here today, but you need to mark the calendars. The plan would be here until around 11:30. So we're going to have a longer meeting than we did in the past. So I've had some members kind of whisper to me, are we going to be going long today? Well, this is our new meeting schedule, so going to 11:30 is not going long. people do have to leave early. That happens to all of us, but we need to keep in mind that we may not have quorum. Like today, we were close on quorum. If we had two or three people leave before we get through our action items, then we would have to stop the meeting and wouldn't be able to take action. So spread the word to the people that are not able to be here today that we just need to think about our schedule in a different and new way and remind yourself that, you know, probably stay 5 or 6 hours by not having to go back and forth to Santa Ana for the other meeting. I also wanted to remind everyone that we now have to confirm attendance with OCCR, so the emails come out asking for you to say whether you can come to the meetings or not. And it's really important for you to reply to that as a new practice so that we can know ahead of time if we do have a quorum. We don't want the Office on Aging staff to have to be calling us individually to see if we're coming or not. And there was a blip of the email address. I don't know if anyone else had a bounce back like I did. And they are looking into that. They have a ticket to resolve that this year as well.
So hitting reply was not the wrong thing to do.
No.
You did correct.
You can. Yeah. And they have a note on there not to reply all, but it's just sent to you, so it's impossible to reply all. That's a little confusing. Yeah.
I was like, well, so you, and then there was only one address there.
Exactly. So how did you have your people in? Yeah.
From you, Merrick, can you read the reply?
Yeah, that wording is confusing to me as well. Yeah. All right, and then our second discussion item is, does your senior center have a senior advisory committee? If you look at the agenda ahead of time, you may know the answer to this. If you're not seeing this, you didn't see this ahead of time, you may need to tell us in the future, but we were just wondering about that. It's really important. We have an advisory committee here. It's a way for us to communicate with senior centers and for older adults to have a voice in how the senior center operates. So I just wanted to take a few minutes to ask if the senior center that you're liaising with has a senior advisory commission.
Think for us,
right?
We meet quarterly.
Okay.
City of Irvine, Devon.
I work with San Clemente, and they don't call it a senior advisory committee, but they meet every Friday morning and have the city manager there talking about city issues and senior issues.
Every Friday morning,
a very rowdy, active group of older adults are there. It's amazing.
Mission Viejo has one.
Great.
But it's called the Senior Leadership
Council. Oh.
You don't have one.
Laguna Gales has.
Yeah.
Phil Park does not, but Orange, I don't know what they call it, but
Costa Mesa does not, and Fountain Valley does not, but Fountain Valley has a committee for persons with disabilities.
Okay. And Newport Beach does not have that.
We have the Friends of Oasis, but that's more of a fundraiser,
right?
So more like that stronger rumors like the dictatorship.
No committee.
I don't think Mary Ann, does Seal Beach have any such thing?
No, I'm really not aware, but I will double check.
At the senior center level, but of course, we have Richard World and we've got our own.
Yeah.
Dictators. I'm not sure, but I think Beta Boy has a advisory.
To me.
Okay. So I'll check those. That's something that
Yeah.
I'm not aware of it, so I'll call it.
Great. I don't know because I can't get a reply from the facility. Right, several people. One says, "Well, I told so and so." The other says, "I told so and so." Nobody calls back. So probably not. That might be a good indication.
You hear from one early often that.
I'm sorry, which one do you have? And I apologize, I don't have the name. I'm on the list. I have just one facility assigned.
Santa Ana, it's in Santa Ana.
It's in Santa Ana, yeah. But I don't know the official one.
So if you don't know the answer to the question, that's a little bit of homework to find out. If you do know, and lots of you already did, and can come back with some best practices about how it's working, is it effective? Is it more of a check the box? Is it a group that we can work with? I think that was the right thing.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. Yeah. No worries. And so we'll kind of track that. And I think that if you already know that your senior center doesn't have an advisory committee, it would be a great thing to suggest to the director and see if there's interest in them finding out what other cities you're doing and kind of facilitate that. And it's a good funnel possibly for us to have, you know, commission members that would like to join us and be able to have countywide input. All right, now we're moving to number 10, action items. Get my notes up.
Yeah, just a quick question. So is today and the struggle for a work an aberration, or is that a new trend?
Well, I think that we have another event going on is
World Elder Abuse Awareness Day.
And so that's, you know, some of our lovely members are staffing that or working on that. So that's part of it. I think that a lot of people are used to not meeting in June, because we traditionally not met in June and may have planned to be out of town or do other things during this time. Those are my thoughts. I don't know if anyone else has that.
I think June's always a tough one.
Yeah, I think it's better if we could be dark in June and do July. It's worked for us traditionally. So I think that that's part of our problem too.
Are we dark in July this year?
Yes. Yeah.
It mirrors
the sameness with the other groups. All right, so action items, well, that's right. I'm sorry, I'm a little scattered today. Okay. All right. So all of the items that we're talking about, we will have a vote on. And the first thing that we want to talk about is the OAC Senior Center Liaison Role and Optional Icebreaker. I hope that you've had a chance to look in your agenda packet. I want to thank Commissioner Dave Ketzloff for his institutional memory, which is so helpful. We had this senior center liaison role and role kind of document in the past, and we were able to find it from the archives and do some updates on it. And we thought that when we talk about it in the executive committee, that this would be a great thing for us to be able to build out an orientation packet for new folks that join the commission. And so it just really talks about who we are, what the role of our relationship with the senior center is, because a lot of times people don't know exactly concretely what they should be trying to achieve. And this really bullet points what we're trying to do and who we are, and it would help to explain it to the senior center director too when they change or when we're meeting them for the first time. So I wanted to see if there was any discussion on this.
Well, I think this is great because it also gives perhaps, and I'm going to use Beck as an example. Let's say Beck's first time here, even though Beck is here before, let's say this is Beck's very first time, and Beck's hearing all this, and all of a sudden it's like, well, what am I supposed to be doing? This is a great outline, so Beck, whoever it may be, now understands the expectation of what the role of the advisory board and the individual when they go meet to their senior center. So I really like this. It's been something that, you know, kind of set in my head about, you know, how people know what to do and what's the expectation. So I really appreciate this. And then the icebreak questions and optional questions, but if this again is your first time getting involved in the world of older adults, I think this really helps hone in kind of conversation and discussion. So it wasn't really about Houston, but I think it's a good guideline for somebody who is really green to be able to understand what their role is.
We've talked several times about people perhaps something to leave with them. I think I've seen one, I'm going to call it sort of summary or handout. Is that going to be a monthly, a quarterly, a annuals?
Well, Elizabeth is now sending information about our next meeting and about what some of the things we learned are, so you can print those out when we go back.
That's great. Again, being able to leave something seems to also trigger a, you can leave your business card attached to it, they've got something to go.
When she has a PDF that she sends out about what we're doing the next month, I think that's a great opportunity to either email that or print it out and hand it and say what we're talking about, spread the word, and we would love to have you come as well.
Right. Perfect.
Additionally, the Office on Aging is working on revamping some of our marketing materials about the services that we offer. So,
we're hoping we see them soon, right?
So that also is part of our solution.
I want to say thank you for giving those questions. I like that they're focused on what you know, just sort of like in a job interview, you want to present you with you, it's better. You might be surprising, but I get my cockle when I know. When I go into one of these places, I don't know where to start. So thank you very much for giving me the multiplier.
I think the other important part about this is that since the Office on Aging is beginning to send us materials to forward to the senior center or to the city manager's office or to the Senate City Council, now we have made a presence and we have broken the ice and we are developing that relationship, and we can make them aware that you're going to hear from us on a regular basis with important information that doesn't get thrown in the trash. So I'm really excited to support this next step.
Great. Well, I would like to entertain a motion for us to adopt. So moved.
Second.
Thank
you. Second.
Who first wrote it? Then second. Okay, so it has been a motion that we adopt the senior center liaison role and optional icebreaker questions. Is there any other discussion?
One question. So one of the things that you asked your ad hoc committee to do was to focus on ways of making your service on this committee useful in the community. And this is a good step in that outreach and understanding why you're here or part of why you're here.
Great. So we don't have to do a roll call vote, or we do?
No, you don't have to. Okay. You want to talk to the roll call.
All right. So all of those in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? All right. Abstentions? Passes, right?
Yep.
Great. Thank you so much. So the next thing that we are going to talk about, let's get back to our agenda, is the 2024-2025 ORAP goals and objectives. So we are going to discuss first.
Make a motion and we need to discuss. So I move that we accept the presentation on creating an age-friendly Orange County goals and objectives for 2024-2025.
Awesome.
Sorry, Kate, we really got an argument. It's for the 2425 goals, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And then the first motion?
I did.
Okay. And then second?
Sandy.
Okay.
I'd like to say thank you to the ad hoc committee. This is great. It reads easy. I believe it identifies a lot of the different areas of people that were important people in. And succinctly gives us a path. So thank you guys. I know you guys spent a lot of time on this. So I really appreciate
Nathan, you're looking.
Is
I'm okay. I'm just here right now. But we're talking about the work that we did.
Yes, the work that we did. Okay. So this is the sheet in your packet.
This has been reworded to follow a format that is more usual in county kinds of goals and objectives kinds of things. So I believe that we did incorporate all of the work that the four of us have done, 1, 2, 3, 4, thank you. And the wordsmithing that we have done prior, and then put this again into a format that is easy to present to the Board of Supervisors and helps us being some of your executive committee members, to go before the Board of Supervisors meetings and say, okay, this is where we are and this is what we want to do, etc. And I think one of the big things that you've seen out here is kind of desirable resources is to bring some awareness to them for a public service campaign about all of the resources that are available in the community and how people could access them. Obviously, we have no budget, but we can be a pretty good voice. So that's our commitment here to working on achieving those goals.
If I can, the key as far as what my thinking was with Dave and Ken and Rachel is the no long doors presentation we had, the ADRC, as the portal at which people can enter into the system and find the information they need. They get their profile taken at that point, they get referred to that. They don't have to go through the process of repeating over and over and over again through various different agencies. And so that's the informational portal that we're trying to emphasize here. There is a door, it's a single door, they will get you to the right people and the right geo and the right services. And to me, that's kind of like the key that makes this information work. And so if we could emphasize that through our communications, emphasize that into the senior citizen, if we can turn it into a refrigerator magnet, to me, that would be just the ideal thing. So people know what number to call and not have to search around trying to figure out what number they need to call. And so.
Okay, Dave, I'm not sure that you were part of the conversation. We tried the 800 number, which was on the brochure, which was referred to some place, then referred to another place, and sometimes you had to leave a message because that turned out to be a state funding number that we were advertising. So again,
that's not the ADRC number.
No, but that was the Office on Aging to access and find information on services. Right. So again, we're coming back to putting a 714 and 949 number into those marketing materials so that they get more directly to those people at the Office on Aging.
The local
for in the service.
Apologies if this is, I was missing for when this was created, but my suggestion that I would love to make for the goals is the third goal, Transportation Access Program. One of the things that I'm noticing in my advocacy efforts is that paratransit is getting back massive. So putting like a specific goal going about advocating for the continuation of paratransit and not skipping back program, for example, folks that are paratransit now have a limit to how much they can bring on and stuff like that. So if they want to go to a farmer's market or something like that, they might have to bring back their groceries. So just some things to keep in mind that might be cool to add to the third.
So on that, so this is a question for Office on Aging. For 1A, revised revamp information access for sure. Does that information access include disability services?
Yes.
Okay.
So information access, you can think of any information resource that help them accessing that, especially where they might get some roadblock to where they might call a phone number and thought they were trying to get to the right place, and then somehow naturally they got lost in translation and or themselves maybe didn't able to follow up. So this allows that type of support to individuals to make sure that they access their needed services and where they need to go.
So I get Beck's point, but I think it's without having to identify specific disability access services, I think it's safe to say that it is included.
Correct.
In that, so.
Correct.
And that would, again, from the ad hoc standpoint, was the understanding after sitting in presentations or even looking at our brochure, just how many different services are out there and how difficult it is to navigate, so that we thought, again, access to resources and access to information was going to be our biggest push for 2025. And then Crystal becomes the next chair. New kinds of additional things to that. But I hear you loud and clear. And again, please, if we have advocacy issues we need to address here to provide support out, we need to know those things.
Well, I think, I don't think you were here, but it was that after the doctor where we had a report and it said one of the biggest problems was information access for the whole county. So that was
true. True from the man question.
No. No,
so I mean, am I wrong? I've been giving it back to touch.
Yeah, I know that, but I'm that's saying we're given it was the
that's the
survey. The results of the survey.
We want to direct people to the Office on Aging, which is part of the ADRC. If they're older adults, that's where they enter.
Yeah, but I was talking more about the reason why we're focusing on the information access and covering everything. The results of that survey.
Yeah, we don't have the results.
You don't have the advanced survey. The area plan survey said that 4 out of 10 people didn't know how to get help.
Yeah.
Thank you. I see.
You have results for the new survey that was sent out, I think, yesterday, the day before, which is the Aging Services Collaborative's work. But the advanced OC data has not been received yet.
Right. But there was someone that said
the state did their survey.
Information. Is a problem getting it out, so that's what I think. But we do need to amend your motion because part of the agenda item is that we have to identify the OAC members that are going to present the goals to us. So, so for the action item 10B, the recommendation. We should discuss the doc and identify the last members that will present the goals to the board supervisors. So Rachel just needs to amend her motion to say I would really adopt the goals and that ABC will go present them.
If you want to go in one motion, yeah, or you can separately. These are goals. It's like bonus, we start, but
had a sunset by June.
Right.
You could create a new ad hoc, but that particular ad hoc sunsets today.
I guess that's how we do it. It's a lot of the votes, but yeah, you're going to give it some. Somewhat connected, you know, the important thing is that I could do something about how do we talk to people. Yeah, that mentioned last time that it started with the senior system. I gave them a list of all the seniors in the surrounding cities. And I think we go to that senior center. There are actually about 16,000 that I got emails for. And there's even more than that, like 36,000 that I get happens to. So we're in a process now saying, put that in the process and actually make contact with those people. And I'm sure the whole county's got,
we're going to see how that turns out.
All right, so first is I'm going to amend it's worded right here properly, is that we are going to adopt these goals, and I propose that the process of presenting this to the Board of Supervisors becomes the responsibility of the executive. Or the executive board.
Make them responsible.
Yeah. Which probably means me.
but that's okay.
That's good.
So that's how I would like to amend. So will you accept the amendment?
I will accept the amendment. Sorry, can you repeat the verbiage for that?
No.
Just that the executive board.
The executive board will be
identify the members.
No, the executive board will be responsible to
present
the goals to the board of supervisors.
Okay.
And
yes, that's as far as I'm
concerned. May I ask a question? Will that be at a regular supervisors meeting?
No. No, it'll be public comments.
No.
I would have
to
make
an appointment.
Which, yes.
Yeah,
all of them?
All
no.
Each office. I'll have to check out the process and then get back to you guys on specifics. I don't know.
We had floated the idea of asking to be permanently on the agenda or every quarter to be on their agenda so we didn't have to depend on the public comments for 3 minutes, but it was not favorably accepted.
And I don't know, we couldn't ask to have a special, not a special session, but like at one of their regularly scheduled board meetings, we'd say, hey, we have an updated goals, get like 10, 15 minutes, get agenda items that we can present the goals as your advisory council.
Did we ask?
Yes, we did.
And they said no.
And they said no, that we couldn't be on any agenda?
Correct.
Why is that?
They didn't give a reason.
But it does not preclude us making appointments with all five members. And
I can't ask you about the record.
We just
will.
I'll see you.
I'll see you Monday.
Okay.
I'll see you. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't seem right. And making appointments with all five supervisors from experience is a Herculean task to get in and in a timely way and actually speak to one of the electeds. I mean, you get in to see their staff, which is not a bad thing.
We were able to do it easily though, last time Gina and I were.
You were?
Yeah.
Okay, so we have a question, we have a second.
All right.
Any more discussion? Now we need to go for a vote. All those in favor?
That's what the answer.
With the amendment, yes. All those in favor? All those against?
Aye. I'm sorry, you said all those against?
Against.
I said again.
No, against. Okay. Any abstentions?
To restate how it's been recommendation.
No, I can't.
Okay. The motion is to approve the goals and objectives as presented with the stipulation that the executive committee will be responsible to present this to the board of supervisors.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, pass. All right. Now we are on to item number 11, Senior Center and City Liaison Updates. So if anyone has anything else additional that you would like to report, your executive board would prefer if we stay away from activities, so unless it's just a little high-level thing to talk about, you know, things that we need to know about that fit in our room that we're trying to achieve with our goal. Senior Center Updates.
I have an update. It's not necessarily related directly to senior center.
So maybe that's on item 15.
Okay.
Yeah. I just want to let people know I talked to my senior centers. They wanted volunteer activities wherein the seniors can actually volunteer to use the skills that they've built up over the life. So I went to my senior centers with a list of those places in December. City mostly was looking for people to help. These are the list of places that you can potentially.
They can't, this side of the room can't hear you.
What I found with Pretend City is that mostly looked for people to help over the. These people want to use the skills that they have used in their lifetime. Yeah.
It's a volunteer match. It's a great website.
And office, well, I don't have that one, but I have several. And Office on Aging was also mostly helping older people. The people at my senior center want to be available to use this.
Yeah, volunteermatch.org.
Do you have OLC one of those? Senior, but are the lower income population. We've been working with Jamboree Housing now for the last couple of years on the development of a city hall and permanent supportive housing complex. It's a public-private partnership, and it's coming to fruition probably by the end of this year. What happened is we've been working out of a double wide for the last 50 years as a city hall. When I first moved here in the San Juan Capistrano in 1975, my brother was an intern, the college intern working out of this god awful double wide portable trailer. And I thought, what a podunk town is this? And little did I know that I'd be one of the people closing it down last year. We entered into a partnership with Jamboree Housing, where we're building 49 permanent supportive housing units. And sold them the land, and the backside is permanent supportive housing, and the front side is a city hall. It's kind of like a mullet, you know. There's just in the front, permanent supportive housing in the back. And then we've moved our council chambers over to the community center, which we inaugurated just a couple weeks back. A really nice, was done at the expense of the taxpayers of about $8.5 million, which is by today's standards pretty affordable.
Yeah.
And it's been complete with all the on-site services. 10 of the units will be prioritized for veterans, and so we're very excited about it. We should be opening up units by the beginning of next year. Look forward to keeping you up to date on the progress of that as we get closer.
Well, then, thank you. One question about that. Do you have the units to be accessible?
Yes.
I think the answer is all.
Okay, so
I'm sorry, yes.
For example, be accessible upstairs or
the elevators.
Oh.
It's a three-story complex.
Okay.
We're not going to have a ramp going up for stairs. But yeah, well, lower floor.
All right, well, now we're on to number 12, chair report. So I wanted to share that we have a great opportunity. Every year, the California Department of Aging, which oversees the Office on Aging at state level, they have an event called California for All Ages, for All Ages and Disabilities Day of Action. And this is going to happen on Tuesday, October the 8th. It's a full day. It's at the Safe Credit Union in Sacramento. I will be going. I hope that other people will be going as well. Registration is open, and last year it sold out quickly. So Elizabeth will be sending out the information to you, hopefully today or Monday. Please register if you're able to financially cover your own travel costs. Great, but they do have scholarships as well for some reserve. So I would love for us to have a big Orange County contingent at this day. We haven't been present at a lot of these things, of course, like some of our other counties, and we need to start showing up at things like this so that we're considered on state planning. So whoever can come, it would be wonderful to have you there. Any questions about this day? We hear from our state elected officials and also from the governor's administration, and they have different panels talking about the master plan for aging. There's also a virtual component. I did that before. It's much better to go in person if you can. Right, John? All right.
A lot of audio problems.
A lot of audio problems, not very exciting, and no networking if you go virtually. All right.
Question.
Yes.
Are you
we leave with our elections.
Oh, in October? Well, the way the day works, according to what I've seen in the past, is that the electeds come and they have panels and the audience can ask questions, but it's not a lobby day for individual officers. Yeah. Right now, on to number 13, Aging updates with Claudia.
All right, thank you. Good morning, everyone. Lots of great questions, lots of great discussions. Congratulations on your action items and getting that adopted. As always, Office on Aging through our division, we always assist, and that is part of our roles to assist that communication and be that link between our board of supervisors' office. So if you're needing assistance to scheduling, to understand, sometimes to try to get a schedule with supervisors' office can be a little challenging. But if that is the case, please, we'd love to liaise on that. We will be notifying them that the goals were adopted to give them a heads up that this was done, share the goals with them, and of course we can give them a heads up that the executive team members may be reaching out. So that way they, it is kind of like at the forefront too. So when you reach out to them, that a little easier. I do have quite a few updates I want to share. One, I don't want to forget to just add a quick little comment about the quorum. Thank you, Meredith, for updating everyone and reminding everyone about quorum. We did receive some guidance from our county council in terms of maintaining quorum. So I wanted to just friendly reminder that at any point throughout your meeting, if you do lose quorum, then the meeting does come to an end. So
an abrupt end.
Yeah. So at wherever in the process we are, even if it is like your last portion of the meeting, if we do lose the quorum, then the meeting stops.
So funny, then, yes, the issue there is that we can't finish the meeting.
Correct.
If we're not going to vote on anything.
Correct.
We're just.
Claudia would stop mid sentence at four people.
Correct. And let's go. yeah, so just a. Yes.
Yes,
50% plus one. So
16.
Right now. Well, right now we have 31. Yeah. 31
right,
active 31 members. So we would need 17. 50 plus one.
17.
Yeah. Thank you. wanted to just share with you Office on Aging. Jay, did you have a question?
No.
Oh, okay. We have been quite busy as we're approaching our end of fiscal year. We have been bringing quite a few items to our board to get services, contracts continued. Some, of course, our area plan and our traditional like aging programs continue. But I did want to highlight more information to come as we develop marketing materials and work with our service providers to do that so that we can bring that forth. But part of the new contracts that we recently got approved at the board this early June on the 4th brings forth some new one-time funding for modernizing the Older Californians Act. And those services that we were able to move forth is Linkages Program, very much mirrors that linking individuals to much needed resources. Groceries Program to support the nutrition program, so individuals that need additional support in nutrition, aside from obtaining a meal at our through the nutrition program, they can also receive support with groceries. We also have the Alzheimer's Daycare Resource Centers, so really focusing on that Alzheimer's resources for the families and individuals, of course, experiencing Alzheimer's and/or dementia. We have caregiver respite, so that's another enhancement to our caregiver support program, specifically to provide that caregiver respite service. And we also have the caregiver support for people with dementia and Alzheimer's. So a lot of emphasis, as you can hear by some of the caregiver resources, is caregiving, we know it's definitely need across our state. So very blessed to have that. And as I kind of move forward with an update, I'll let you know kind of what's happening with budget updates too at the state level. What does that mean for us as well?
So just wanted to share as we get some materials moving forward to get the new services and these contracts rolling at the beginning of the year, we'll be sure to bring that information forward to you. And we'd be more than happy to also coordinate with those service providers if there's a like a presentation request or something. So definitely want to work with you on that.
So that's what you just said is really exciting of all those potential new services. Is it possible to get, because again, I always think about when I go to council and say, hey, look out for.
Yes.
Is it possible to get a list of all that and have a brief synopsis so then that way we can share with our constituents
yes.
that, you know, hey, this is coming up, look for this in the future? That would be fantastic.
Yeah, and we definitely, because we have to do our due diligence of informing our call center staff so that they know who our service providers are, where these programs, how to access. So we'll be sure to bring that for you. We'll be working on that. One of the other things, speaking of information awareness, is our newsletter. Part of our area plan goal is to develop a newsletter. We are definitely right now in the development of the content of the newsletter. So I know, Elizabeth, thank you for working and trying to gather that for us. So we'll definitely bring forward. We're trying to target that definitely no later than that first quarter of our new year so that at least we can get the first newsletter out to you and be able to maintain that. So if there is any feedback on it, you know, of course, in terms of content that is information, be more than happy to hear from you. In the meantime, we're trying to get that developed and we'll be working with our communications unit so that we can draft a nice newsletter that we can share with you all and definitely share it across our network, share it with our boards, and ask them as well to share it in their newsletter forums as well.
And that date, and then let me just say,
we're going to.
I don't know, maybe on September, is that.
So at the very latest, we're talking at the end of court, but we're trying to get that done like now, as soon as possible.
Okay.
Yes, we're already drafting some content, and now it's just kind of putting it all together and getting that approved. So yeah, we'll look forward to that. We'll give you updates as we come along. Volunteer opportunities. I heard we're looking for some volunteers, I believe. If you did not, please let us know. An email was sent out from the OCCS Boards Commission inbox informing you of some cinemas at the park for partnering with the parks. And these are every Friday, started last Friday, June 7th, and they go through the end of August. Office on Aging, well, actually our division under Community Services, we are hosting tables, the resource tables there. So you've been provided an opportunity to please join us. So if you're interested on joining our table and providing and bringing awareness to our older adults, you get to see the type of information, of course, that we provide, not just on behalf of Office on Aging, but also the Veterans Service Office and our workforce development programs as well. So I encourage you, if you are able to attend, if you would like to attend any of the cinemas these Fridays, please email back. Reply to all to the OCCS boards. And yes, we were aware of some pickups. It was really one of those fluke things that some individuals got like undeliverable messages and others did not. So we have looked into the matter. So thank you, Monica, and your team there to follow up on that. But let us know. So I just wanted to do a friendly reminder if you haven't seen that email or didn't receive it.
I think it would be good to have the times too.
The times of the cinema? Oh, we could tell
the times that she might be volunteering.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Excellent.
Did I understand correctly? We received notice about the
yes, and yeah. Email. Yes.
Mm-hmm. It was from OCC.
Yes. Boards and Commission.
Let us know, Johnny. Well, okay. Just to share.
Yeah, we can reset that.
I can reset it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you could put the times, I don't know if they're available for each one.
The times for when it starts? Or
when the table, when the resource, yeah, the time that they would be
committed
to.
Yeah.
No, it's not the whole time.
Yeah, that's the point.
Yeah. Like, we're not giving resources while they're watching the movie, right?
So we need to be there before.
Right, correct.
Or
okay.
Yeah, I think that I've got a 2-hour window right now.
Yeah. Thank you.
And then a quick little update, some good news to share, because we're always talking about all their to-dos and all their busyness that we are in trying to get our end of the year. I do want to share that OCCR, our Community Resources Division, which OC Community Services is under, we submitted 20 NACLE, the National Counties Awards this year for 2024, and we were awarded 12 winners out of all of those awards. And why I wanted to highlight that is because Office on Aging submitted their Bridging the Digital Divide with our Access to Technology program. This was the collaboration we had with our social service offices to obtain iPads to deliver, partner with several community-based organizations, senior centers included, so that we can bring forth iPads and increase access to technology to our older community, including the online classes, which are still ongoing. We have a partner, Get Set Up, in which also provides online training classes. Some of those classes are self-paced, some of the classes are live, and there's like a slew of subjects and topics to learn from. So wanted to share that we were awarded a winner on that category. The second one was the Senior Non-Emergency Medical Transportation Program and efforts under Office on Aging, and of course our community service partners. And these are grant funds that we receive from OCTA and locally through our healthcare agency partners, so that won an award as well. And under our division, our workforce development also received an award, highlighting the career preparation and exploration for justice-involved individuals. So these are our justice-involved individuals needing employment opportunities, trainings, needs, career counseling services, and really working them and helping them transition to and sustain, obtain sustainable unsubsidized employment. So that wanted to share that. And then the last one under our division was our veterans employment program. This is a collaboration between our workforce development and our veteran service office, in which we obviously focus our also employment needs and support to older adults and veterans themselves, especially those veterans transitioning out of active military, coming into transitioning to civilian life, and making sure that they continue to remain full in the workforce environment. So I just wanted to bring that forth, because I know often we don't talk about all the wonderful things that we are definitely doing in outreach to our communities. So wanted to bring that forth to you. One of the other updates, thank you, Sandy. I have that on my little notes to share. California Department on Aging, right, the state, our funders for many of our programs, they released a Aging Resources Guide. Thank you, Sandy. They released some English ones. They just mailed us a very small batch. I wanted to announce that because I would like to provide that to you. So as you're going to the senior centers, as we also table our resources, we can get those out. It's not a lot. However, they finally released other languages available on the resource guides as well. So definitely they do have the threshold languages in our county. So I went ahead and requested a few more batches of these so that we can have them available and share them with you. And of course, we'll be available at our labs as well. Also, at the state level, much discussion, of course, because of our budget and the state trying to adopt a new budget and all the deficiencies happening. And what does that mean? I'm not sure if many of you have heard, but there was definitely there is proposal to reduce funding under nutrition programs, services. What does that mean for Office on Aging? Yeah, on us, of course, there's a lot of advocacy. Office on Aging was able to provide comment and be included on a letter that was sent to legislation in support of not to stop the reduction, of course, of nutrition services. And what does that mean for us? We are secured into coming into the new fiscal year in terms of nutrition. There really is no impact, but moving into the future years, definitely, because the proposal was a little over $31 million over the next 3 years that addresses nutrition needs. The state, the California Department of Aging, is working diligently to provide the greatest level of flexibility so that we can use other supportive and aging program services. And these are specific to the modernizing, like those one-time modernization type services. That's the area that might impact the most, but they're looking into it. We're still awaiting some guidance on that end. But in the meantime, for us, we're moving forward with our services, and any information thereafter, of course, that we can provide to you in terms of what's that mean to our new programming, we'll be sure to share. But in the meantime, we're full speed ahead. So I wanted to bring that forward because I know there's a lot of communication going around at the state levels that some of you may have heard. You're wondering, what does that mean?
Where's the intersection of the Office on Aging with AgeWell and Meals on Wheels?
Service providers, they provide several of our aging services. One of the largest, of course, services that they provide is nutrition, the Elderly Nutrition Program. But they also provide a little of other services like case management services, in-home services, and transportation. A quick update. I know as a request during the last executive meeting, wanted to share a quick update on the county legislation and where we are with your last recommendation made to support or request the county to support SB 37. So the update there is our community services and resources conducted an analysis on what does that bill impact to Office on Aging or any of our programs under our division. The recommendation at this time is that the bill is not being moved towards CEO's office, but it will continue to be on watch status at this time. So I wanted to share that with mission as well on that. Also wanted to, I know busy weekend coming up, so Father's Day is coming up, and I want to acknowledge fathers in the commission that are present here today. Happy Father's Day weekend. Hope that the weekend is safe, have lots of great family times. Want to also acknowledge lots of great Jerry and Miss Rachel on your induction at City of Irvine. Congratulations again. Part of great service. I know Jerry wanted to keep it quiet, but now the cat is out of the bag. and then here we have some pictures that we were able to capture of the special moments that we wanted to share that with you. So thank you both for your dedication, for your commitment, and of course, always your commitment and your dedication to our older communities here in our obviously within the city and in our county. Thank you so much for that. And I think that is all I have. Quite a bit. Any questions for Claudia?
So again, thank you for the recap on the performance guidelines. But can I ask you have a year to date number?
We might be able to include it in the file if you want to wait for the newsletter. Let us look into it, because if we want to do a year to date, now that we're coming to the end of the fiscal year, we might be able to have that year dark in July. We might be able to August.
Yeah.
On your August meeting, include. Yeah, we can see about including that for the August.
Because if I look back to the first one, you had some special outreaches, which is. Right, it's nice to know, but then to put it in perspective, it's 10,000 non-emergency medical trips in the month of April against 100,000 trips.
Where we are.
Yeah, that's what your business is centered of where they are.
Okay,
thank you for that. Is there a senior summit this year?
I don't have any information on that yet. Traditionally, in previous years, those have been initiated by board of supervisors. Last year was in, and the year prior to that was in the South County area.
It was very dangerous for older adults the way it was set up last time.
So we as we get any information on efforts to collaborate on that, then we'll definitely bring that forth to you. We don't have any information right now.
Thank you.
All right, presentation schedule. Do we have any updates, Barbara? Any?
We have, we're dark of July, of course. So August, we have the Veteran Services, Eric Andrews, going to make a presentation. And then Barbara's working on one, and I'm working on one for the rest of the year.
And if people have ideas on presentations, there's like, you know, thousands of great presentations, but if you find ones that are aligned with our goals, like the ones that we have coming up, then please share that with Barbara and Sandy.
Certainly we're waiting for the results from the survey.
Right.
We still don't know when the survey will be released.
Yeah, no update at this time of where when. The one update I can share is that county and the planning portion of that are looking at that raw data right now and trying to reconcile to put a report forth. And so that is the only update. Yeah.
So we finished in December. Here we are on June, and so it was finished in December, but we're still.
As to take the goals and have the presentations more closely.
That's what we've been doing.
Well, I'm going to say it this way. So anyway, great. That would be great.
That's what we're trying to do. So when I get a suggestion from the group, I run it by Meredith, and we discuss, is that part of our goals?
Perfect.
Even if it's a really good presentation, but we pass on it because it's not part of our goals.
Perfect.
That's what the supervisors want us to do.
Yes. All right, now we are on to 15 announcements by all commission members. I know, Patty, you had an announcement.
I do. We sent out the link to the report on aging in Orange County that was compiled by the Orange County Aging Services Collaborative. It represents over 3,000 subjects, so it really does have some statistical significance. And you all did help in getting those surveys out earlier in the year. I have a couple of printed copies if somebody doesn't have access to printing it themselves from the link.
Can you tell me the official name of that again, Patty?
Report on Aging in Orange County 2024.
Patty, I've already gone through that. Interesting. I couldn't get a perspective in terms of the number of respondents to the total number of seniors or older adults.
There were 3,000 respondents, and I can't quote chapter and verse of the number of people in Orange County right now that are over 65. I know it's 600,000. Okay. I
130,000.
Yes.
Yeah, 60. Yeah, 60 and older, we're already approaching over 700,000.
700,000.
However, it's 65 and older, we don't have that information. If we want to break it 65, but 60 and older?
60 and older, it's more than 700,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And about 170,000 older adults over 65 are eligible for both Medicare and Medi-Cal. So, the proportion of
I think it's more they're eligible, but the actual ones that are enrolled.
That are enrolled,
yeah,
okay. So they may be eligible but not enrolled, but it just reflects that there's a very high percentage of older adults who have very low income because they qualify for Medi-Cal and Medicare.
That's an interesting stat. And I guess the other one, 600,000 seniors. 3,000 respondents.
More than 700,000 are over 60, according to our Office on Aging just now. 3,000 was the number of respondents.
That's pretty good for a survey.
That was actually a really good number.
Yeah, it's still small, but
sure.
You know, but that's the response.
I think it's fabulous that you guys have that published.
Yeah, I think it's more respondents than what the MMC subject number is.
So I would hope we would be able to hear a presentation on this.
Be happy to.
Sometime before the end of the year, because I think it meshes with what our goals are.
Sure.
And
yes.
Where the targets of opportunity or choice of third is for us.
I just added it to our next executive committee session, and I'll try to get it on the
And really and truly, a major hope from the Aging Services Collaborative was that this information would also be used to inform the process of the strategic plan response.
So mail it to the master plan now.
I did. Not to be too cheeky, but
yeah,
yes,
good.
I did.
Good.
Yeah, can we download that?
Yes, John. You got the link.
Was it not sent out?
Yeah.
No, not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah, I don't spell it.
Oh, I got it from Cal off the
matter.
So Elizabeth will be emailing it to the commission.
Yeah, I'm gonna send a one email with SQL all, and then the report is.
Okay, so you read your report and you register to go to Sacramento all
Okay,
and Beth?
Yeah, I have a couple of announcements. One is interim surveys. The Orange County Disability Coalition, in partnership with the Atlanta Center, is doing a survey for people with disabilities and older adults for advocacy efforts in the county. Every 3 years, we have a goal of revamping our goals. And so it's been December and March now, so we're trying to see what advocate for. So that will be sent out. I'm sending it out with the first batch of this first day, and then I'll send it out and then in addition to that, on June 26th at the Hilton in across from John Wayne Airport from 3 to 5 p.m., the California Commission on Disability Access is having a listening session. So they're going to be talking about the connection between disability and accessibility in Orange County businesses. So if you'd like to leave a comment, you definitely come. We're also going to be inviting businesses to see how they can improve their interactions with people with disabilities. It's going to be a great day if you would like to attend and have any problems with information on how to get those things.
Does Dale McIntosh have a listserv?
Oh, you have a mailing list.
A mailing list, yes. Okay, yeah, I'll go over that. Thanks, Jim.
And when did you say the survey was going to release sometime?
So, technically, it's live right now.
Okay.
I just finished the advertising through. Okay, so I'll send it to you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Beth, if you can send it to me as well.
Yeah,
I mean, when I send it to us.
I just want to tell you how impressed I am with all the contributions that you're making to our older adults in this community. And I'm going to be moving to Sacramento because I need to check up on Meredith's boss.
So we're going to see you in October, right?
Yeah, I wrote it down.
Okay.
I put it in my calendar. But I'm from Sacramento originally. I was at Cal State Sacramento for 100 years. And in the nursing program, emeritus professor there, but I'm going back to join another school. I'm looking forward to continuing your passion up in the Sacramento area. So thank you for your contributions and your welcome. Now, I've only been here a short time, but it's impressive. So thank you.
Oh, thank you, Rob. We're going to miss you, but we're going to stay in touch.
No, I'm going to check up on you.
Yes.
But Robin, that does mean that Supervisor Sonia then doesn't have a direction.
She's going to get some information.
I will notify him.
Yeah.
I have it down on my list, and I'm hoping to. I got to look at his areas because I hope he'll pick another nursing educator.
That'd be right.
It's such an opportunity.
Yes.
To engage the students,
yes,
and the things that are happening. So, no,
all right, any other announcements? John?
I could have a morning, I'm sorry, recruiting. One pause a day.
Yes.
So, I just wanted to give you a heads up. The
Oh, the meeting has just stopped.
It's okay. We still have 17. So if one more of you leaves after Crystal, then we'll no longer have more.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can finish your sentence.
The budget is now before the governor. We'll see. Remember, he has line five and veto.
Yep.
Okay, so all the, we got all this money that flies against his recommendations. We'll see. Two, the latest status on the 25 bills that I've identified through the CSL advocates. 18 out of 25, 72%, went into suspense. So that's three quarters of the bills impacting seniors. 10 of those 18 got out. Okay. So that's 55%, but we'll see. I hate to be a naysayer, but I mean,
there's no money this year.
It's a tough year. So we will see what ultimately comes out of all that. Obviously, when the governor makes a statement, if you're sending me a bill that costs money, it's dead in the water. That sets a tone. Now, there's some people saying, well, I'm going to force it through. Good luck. So we'll see how many of these actually get out of the governor's office signed rather than, vetoed at this point. So anyway, that's the status of the 25 bills. As a point of interest, CSL is going to have a table at the September event. I said the October 8th event.
Yes.
So it's just going to be a little, and we're going to create a little, you see these little half signs that are sort of like a half a little, yeah, we're going to put CSL on it, create a table. You may want to think about it if you get enough people in Orange County. Just, it'll have sort of a recognition of,
we can all get like a little
sort of block voting and that thing. Create an impression. So just an FYI.
Okay, so is our goal that we try to get five of us up there?
Well, I'm going to have to split tables because I'm going to be up there. So I'm going to wear two hats perhaps. So, but that's possible. Other than that, I think that's all I've got.
Great. Thank you, John. Anyone else? All right, we're done.
Thank you.